The first word is from Luke chapter 23, verse 34, and we read, "And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Dear brothers and sisters, friends, the first words of Jesus on the cross are a prayer to the Father. The first words are aimed towards heaven. And these words are easily understood. In his agony and pain, Jesus asks his Father to forgive those who were crucifying him, those who were causing him to suffer horrendous pain, for, Jesus prayed, they know not what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Now, the meaning of this prayer is easily understood. They're not complicated words. But when we begin to ponder the heart from which these words were spoken, these words lead us to infinite depths of glory. When we begin to see by whom and when these words were prayed, we begin to see the infinite love of God. For these words reveal an infinitely loving and kind heart, the heart of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved his enemies, those who were persecuting him, even in the depths of his pain. For in this short prayer, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, Jesus asked the forgiveness for men who were willingly killing him in the most excruciating way imaginable. He asked for the forgiveness. He prayed for those who were seeking to destroy him. But Jesus Christ, in the midst of his suffering, sees it all. He sees their hatred. He sees their evil hearts. And yet he lovingly, humbly prays to the Father to forgive them, that they would be granted true forgiveness. Beloved, there is a question we must ponder when we read these words. Who is this man that prayed? And who are these people that he prays for? Well, to see that, we need to see two things. And really, the connection between the two. First, the man, and then the people whom he prayed for. Let's begin with the man hanging upon the cross. Beloved, this man was and is God. He was in the beginning. He was with God, for he was God. The Word was created through him, and everything was created through him. Mankind was created through him and in his image. But mankind had turned away from him. We sinned against him. We turned our backs to him. But he remained patient, kind, merciful. He allowed Adam and Eve, our forefather and foremother, to live when they sinned. But we did not change when we received such mercy. In fact, we increased our rebellion against God to the point that the whole earth was filled with sin. So God judged the world in the times of Noah. This God judged the world. But Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And this God spared the existence of mankind by saving Noah and his family. But even after that, righteous Noah sinned, and all who came after him did the same. And so this man who we see dying on the cross called Abraham to walk with him so that the world might be blessed through him. But Abraham's descendants, the Israelites, did the same as Noah's descendants and as Adam and Eve. They rebelled against him and walked in rebellion. And so God made some of Abraham's descendants prophets, men who declared the good news that he was going to send a savior, a king, a redeemer, the seed of the woman that was prophesied all the way in Genesis chapter 3. God would send his own son who would restore Israel and in whom the Gentiles, the non-Jews, would rejoice. This son of God, this promised savior, this patient God, is the one who is hanging upon the cross. About 33 years earlier, the Son of God became a man and was born to a young virgin named Mary. He grew up and began proclaiming the good news that the kingdom of God had come near, salvation had come. This man we see dying on the cross declared God's love to the people. He healed the sick, he cast out demons, he made the lame to walk. He opened the eyes of the blind, he opened the ears of the deaf. But the people he came to preach to, the people he healed, the people he loved, rejected him, falsely accused him, and cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And they sent him to the cross on that Friday, almost 2,000 years ago. But all of this, beloved, Jesus foreknew, for he had come purposely to the world to die upon that cross. It was all prophesied before. It was the greatest act of love the world had ever seen and the world ever would see. He had come to the world to die as a sacrificial offering for the sins of the world. He came to die on the cross to pay for the sins of the world and to receive the punishment of the sins of those who hated him, of those who rejected him. He came to die. And last night, one of his closest friends, Judas, a disciple, had betrayed him, had handed him over to be arrested. The whole night that followed, religious leaders of the people there that he came to save made false accusations against him. And this morning, he was sentenced to death by crucifixion. After they had flogged him and pressed a crown of thorns on his head, he had carried out his cross out of Jerusalem to Golgotha, to the cursed place where the worst criminals would die. A horrible death. He had shown them nothing but love. But now, the raw wounds from the flogging he had received were pressed against the rough wood of the cross, and great rough nails were used to pierce his wrists and his feet as they nailed him to the cross. The cross was raised, and he hanged there to die. Lifted on a cross, dying in excruciating pain, the Son of God was hanging on a cross, for he became sin for us. He hung there to receive, more even than the physical pain, the wrath of Almighty God, for it pleased the Lord to crush him. It is written in Isaiah 53. And as he hung there, this man, the Son of God, who looked at the people who hated him without cause and mistreated him throughout their lives, while he was suffering, and while the Creator of all, through whom all things were created, he spoke to a mankind that had rejected him from the very first to the very person that was standing before him. And he said, "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." It is hard for us to understand that even while he was dying, he was filled with love. Don't we see it in our own lives? When everything goes well, we have a surplus, so to speak. We love to say kind things, but when life is hard, we become inwardly focused. We become me, myself. I need to be in survival mode. It needs to be just me, but not Christ. In that moment, when he was dying in pain, Christ looked and he thought, "They need forgiveness. Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do." Can you see him? Can you hear his wonderful love expressed through these words? Oh, what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. You see him, beloved? Do you see the man, the Son of God, the loving Christ who gave his life for you and for me? Who even in his dying loved sinners and prayed for them. He prayed for those who drove the nails into his feet. He prays for those who flogged him, for those who mocked him. This is the man upon the cross. It is the Son of God. It is the one of perfect love, completely innocent, but bearing the sins of the world. Which brings us to the people that he saw. You must understand that Jesus knew the people he was praying for better than they knew themselves. For he could see their faces, but he also knew their hearts. He heard their words. He knew the intention behind those words. Jesus could see the darkness of their heart and the depths of their sin. He could see their ignorance, for they did not know who they were mocking. It wasn't as though Jesus thought, well, these people, they made a mistake, but they're really loving and kind people. No, he knew them. He knew they needed forgiveness. Listen to this. Luke writes right after these verses. He shows the people that Jesus was praying for. 35 to 39, we read, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And there was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. The people that stood before the cross were mocking, laughing, making fun of the Son of God. People made out of the dust of the earth, born in sin, were laughing and mocking and ridiculing the Son of the Most High, Almighty God. And Jesus responded, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus recognized that the people blinded by their sin did not realize what they were doing. They did not know that they were crucifying the Son of God. And so Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father to forgive them for their grievous sins. And he was praying for them based upon the sacrifice that he was offering at the very moment. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, the depths of the riches of God's wonderful love. Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost, blinded by sin. He came to seek and to save sinners. Jesus makes it from the first word very clear why he was there. To bring forgiveness to lost sinners, even to those who were mocking him and who had nailed him to the cross. He came to save sinners. That's why we're here this afternoon, to recognize a Savior who died for sinners. This was no accident. This was a willing sacrifice, the ultimate act of love for you and for me. Oh, dear friends, come behold the wondrous mystery. Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the place of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption. See the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love untold. Beloved, you see the heart of Christ. Have you ever seen a heart like this? Have you ever seen the wonderful love of Christ? If he prayed for those who nailed him to the cross, how about us? If he prayed for them, he prays for us. Dear friends, what does this prayer have to do with us here this afternoon? Well, beloved, the words of Jesus are written for us as well. To those who bend the ear, who lend the ear to Christ and the gospel. To those who do not walk by mock and go home, but to those who watch, hear, and believe. To those who have eyes to see the man upon the cross and hear his words. The prayer that Jesus prayed that day are words of eternal life for us today. For the sacrifice he brought was not only for them then and there, but it is for all those who hear the voice of God through the gospel. You say, well, how do I hear? Through the word of God, written and proclaimed even today into your ears, now and 6 more times. To hear, to extend your ear, to cry out in your heart, Lord, forgive me too. For we need the same forgiveness as the people that stood near the cross. For have we not all fallen short through our selfishness and our sin? If all our sins would be displayed on the screen right behind me, would we not bow our head in shame and weep for the reality of who we are? Have we not fallen short of godliness, of love and holiness? Are we not in need of forgiveness ourselves? Even though we didn't handle those nails, even though we didn't mock before the cross, we've stood there through our sins and our rejection, haven't we? Therefore, beloved, look upon Jesus this afternoon. This is not a display of 7 men making a public presentation. This is a call, a cry to your heart to look upon Christ for the first time. Or to be strengthened in your faith again, to see him more clearly as the world turns more dark. So instead of mocking him, we pray with him, saying, Lord, me too. Let your work, O Lord, be for me too. Let that precious price is paid for my sins, that I might live as Jesus prays for you and over you. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. I want for a quick second to look forward. One day, if you believe in him now, this same one who said, Father, forgive them, will say, come in, enter the joy of your master. If you hear today, you will hear again when you leave this earth and enter his presence. For Christ came to seek and save the lost and to give eternal life to all those who believe in him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would lead, guide, and teach us that we might know you and hear and believe. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The first word of the cross has come to you by the ministry of Pastor Paul van Engelenhoven. I am the pastor at Seventh Reformed Church.